Hello, this is Janet Gowan welcoming you to Love Letters Live, and today's guest is going to remain anonymous for the sake of family privacy. She has a really beautiful, complex story to tell, and she and I have talked about this whole subject before, and the issue is losing one love in your life and finding another and the journey to that. So I'm going to go to you, and you talk about... Go ahead. You talk about your husband who was ill, and I'm just going to...
Yes. So I am a widow, so I think really my purpose in wanting to do this is to really help those out there who have lost a love.
Yes.
And
feel that maybe that's it, and there's... Yes.
Right.
Because if you've loved one person so much, how can you find another?
Well, and also I think they feel it's disrespectful.
Yes, to the pain
to
that
love
you feel. Yes.
Someone else, you know?
Yes.
And quite frankly, I think my husband found my sweetheart.
Oh, you, that's
me.
What you... Okay, go.
Yes. It was a really awful 10 to 12 years there of just, you know, really sad things happening, and my husband with a very long-term illness.
Oh.
And such that... friends would say to me, this is just so incredible, it would make a movie. And mm-hmm. I thought, but I wouldn't go see it.
What?
I don't like sad movies
no.
like that,
yes.
you know. So, yes, I was
But it's a movie. When people say that, it means it has a lesson in it we can learn by, and people should know the story, maybe.
And also, the story is almost unbelievable with all
okay,
of
will you please.
What happened. But at the same time, I tend to feel like, to dwell on that side of it kind of prevents the next phase from happening.
If you do in your real life.
If one does
yes,
in their real life.
But in telling the story, we want to, okay.
Right.
Tell
right.
about it.
Mm-hmm. Basically what happened was I lost my dear husband to the side effects of all the prescriptive medicines.
Oh.
And as I talk to different people whose family members are in hospice, I think that's a fairly common thing that happens.
But it was unavoidable medication.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Unavoidable
medication. So it's not like you're saying be... Okay.
Yes. But I really lost him, and I can see it happening. And by lost him, not just physically, but mentally, his spirit, his heart,
yes.
his emotion,
yes.
you know, all of those things were going. And at the same time, I lost my son to illegal drugs. His mind to illegal drugs. So it was a double, really awful, you know, mm-hmm. bolt there. So much so there were times when I thought, well, life just wasn't worth living.
Yes.
I mean,
of course
really,
you, did.
You know. And fortunately, I had a lot of dear friends through that time period. So that helped enormously.
Did your son come through the crisis that he... No
he is still...
Oh,
he is still
okay.
lost.
Okay.
Which is, you know, an awful heartbreak.
Oh, yeah.
But, and then, you know, I know a number of women out there that are widows, that are trying to find someone else. And I think I would put an emphasis on that word trying.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you say you put an emphasis on trying, what does trying mean to you?
Well, trying means to me that they almost make a job out of it, that it's like it's their whole focus.
Oh.
If that doesn't happen, they're just, you know, they're just devastated.
And that
they're
would be a little debilitating in the search, wouldn't it?
It does.
Yes.
It turns
people away, yeah.
I think what attracts someone to anyone is their joy of life,
yes.
and their essence and their, you know, all of that sort of thing. And I think if someone is desperately out there trying to find a mate, then they're really blocking who they are.
Well, you're touching on something else. I think if people who are trying so desperately to find a mate are focusing on what they need,
yes,
instead of what they can give.
Exactly.
And that's kind of a stopper if you're the person being sought after.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Right. Exactly. And I tend to take an attitude of just, geez, wouldn't it be nice if?
Yes.
You know, to open the door to that happening And to not, you know, sit around the house and think a guy's going to drop on my head or something, you know.
Yes.
But to get out there in life, joining groups, going to events.
How soon after your husband died did you feel free to do that? Maybe that's instructive for people.
Well, I think it's a little difficult to understand in that ours was such a long, drawn-out process. He wasn't, like, killed in a car wreck.
Right. So you had the sorrow of having said goodbye to him way before.
Many times.
Yes.
Yes, okay. Many times. So, you know, as heart-wrenching as that was, in one sense, I like to look at the good side of things. In one sense, that was probably, you know, good in a way that it kept preparing me for that. So,
oh, I see.
Yes. And then also, even the fact that he was not who I had loved and who he was, that also, I mean, it would be much harder for somebody whose husband was, you know, say at the prime of their youth, they're mentally there and all that kind of stuff, and then they're suddenly gone. That would be extremely hard to make.
I thought you were going to say that by the time he did die, it was your, not permission, but your sign that it was time for you to physically and emotionally move on.
Well, yes and no. It actually, right at the time he died, it was an enormous shock because it had almost happened so many times that when it really did happen, it was quite devastating, and there was a number of months there where I was just, you know, crying and broken up. And,
oh, that's what I was asking.
Know,
so
all
yes.
of that,
okay.
And so
it wasn't so immediate that you felt you could.
No.
Okay.
No, absolutely not. And in fact, the interesting thing is that my boyfriend's home was very near mine, and many times I walked past his house crying.
Oh.
And not, you know,
knowing that that was your future in there.
So you almost think of kind of spheres, and we were overlapping and not, you know, knowing it, you know. And I put so much of this out there to the universe that, you know, and in fact, even kind of preparing for this, I look back over the calendar of different events that had gone on, and I just see so many times when I almost bumped into him, or things that occurred that at the time were awful, losing a house and moving to another one, that at the time those seemed very dramatic and, you know, very hard to deal with, but actually had that not been the case, I wouldn't have lived right next to him, right by him, you know,
all
those lovely things that are falling into place in a person.
That you're constantly being driven into the path that you're supposed to. But in talking to him, your present sweetheart, did he have those same things, like, about you? I mean, did he walk by your house and wonder or not wonder, or now that in retrospect, as he say, I used to walk by yours also?
Well, was that I'm on the street where you live kind of thing?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, it is also interesting, too. We almost had a very mirrored background going on there at the same time. Those same years when I was struggling horribly with all kinds of traumatic things, he was also.
Oh, that's what I meant.
And in fact, that's why he had not really gone out. And I mean, different women were chasing after him, but he really had not. He had, you know, friends and such, but
did he lose somebody also? Did he?
Yes, his whole family. So, you know, so he also was not, you know, ready, I guess you might say, or something. Anyway, and so there was, we live in a community with a lot of activities going on and stuff, and I was working at a job where I often worked on the weekends and at night, a part-time job, and so I hadn't gone to a lot of the events and activities, but and this is the part that I think came from my husband.
That's what I want to know.
Yes.
I think we all do, yes.
And it was so precious because a woman friend of mine had said, oh, there's a dance coming up. You just have to go, you know, and all this stuff. And I, you know, at first I was thinking, oh, no, you know, because I did have to work that particular night. And there was this voice that was like my husband was standing there.
How did that work?
That said, you got to go to this dance. Go to this.
But
go
when you say that,
dance.
Is that you felt his presence saying
I
that?
I felt
you
his
actually,
presence.
When you say a voice that really sounded like his,
right,
how is that?
I felt his presence and the strength of that message was so intense You know what I mean? Yes. When you have an intuition, I think people often don't pay attention to that.
Yes.
And it's like this feeling that's just overwhelming and it just comes over, you know? And
when that happened to you, did you remark out loud in response or anything? Or
no,
did
but
you
I just felt
know?
It with uh-huh. great intensity and I called in sick at work.
Oh my goodness. Good for you.
Yes. And uh-huh. went to the dance. So that's where, I met my boyfriend and we hit it off. Friends introduced us and, we hit it off immediately, danced every dance, together and, just were so drawn to each other. It was just, you know, it was so meant to be. And then as we began to piece our backgrounds together, we could so understand where each other had come from and be so extremely supportive of each other, which is very sweet.
Yes.
You know, and I guess that's what I would most hope in doing this interview is to encourage anyone out there to really respond to their intuition, to not have a very preconceived notion of, well, this person has to have this and has to be this and they have to have this job and they have
to
look like that.
I read something yesterday and I was really touched by it. It just fits right in here. And it said something like, I wish I had it in front of me, but you have to be careful that in your search for the perfect person, you could miss the imperfect person who can make you happy.
That's right. That is so great. That's exactly right.
Uh-huh. And perfection anyway.
Yeah, and perfection. Well, I mean, in order to find the perfect person, one would have to be perfect themselves.
No, or you'd have to delude yourself.
Right.
Yes, there is no
exactly.
such thing.
Exactly.
Yes.
There is no such thing.
And by the way,
know?
If there were, how annoying it would be. Oh, my goodness. Yes.
Folded socks.
Oh, I don't. Whatever that means.
Whatever
I mean,
that would
perfect
be.
Has so many different forms.
Right.
But what do you say about, because I've had this conversation and with people who talk about, I'm just not ready to move on yet. Mm-hmm. I'm not ready to move on. Mm-hmm. And it can be years. And in some way, they're not. But I think that moving on, I'm wondering if people have the misconception that moving on means you have to forget about the one you loved before somehow.
I think that's right. And as I
and
say,
you never
I think,
do.
And also I think it means that they are disrespectful
yes.
of what was.
Yes.
And
or disrespecting the pain they're feeling or
right,
something.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. You know, and I just don't see that because life moves on, you know, the leaves fall off the tree and then it blooms
yes.
again. And,
yes.
you know, it's, and you know, quite frankly, I mean, for myself, if I passed away, you know, I wouldn't want my spouse to find someone else.
Right. You don't want to leave a trail of misery behind
yes.
you.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, because that doesn't do the world any good.
It doesn't do the world any good. And it doesn't do certainly you or your spouse. Right.
No, it's not going to bring my spouse back.
Right. But also there is kind of the reality that if you've had a marriage, if you've been with somebody you've loved and lost that person due to any number of really horrible tragedies, that person is still with you.
And they should be.
That's right. Still a part of your life. Still maybe the parent of your children.
Right.
And alive in a million. And if you don't find somebody who respects that.
Yes.
And takes joy in your memories.
Exactly.
Then.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's kind of a damaging.
And you know, the word when you say joy there, that's what I would want to encourage anyone out there is when I said not to have some preconceived notion of that person I'm looking for has to be X, Y, and Z, but it's like, how do they make you feel? How do you feel when you're with them? How do they feel when they're with you?
And so how did you feel when you were with
with my boyfriend, just
and how fast did he make you feel that way?
Oh, instantly.
Okay, I mean, when you say fantastic, though, what I like specifics.
Oh yes, of course.
Because I think you know, love letters are specifics, and
yes. Well, and I would say, he should be writing some of them. I have texts that he's written to me, but he's the kind of person that has a wonderful way with words
mm-hmm.
and a wonderful way of appreciating me and expressing
it. Okay, so that's what I want to know. So he makes you feel smart and
special and never taken for granted. And
nice.
I think, and that's true for both of us, having mm-hmm. been through so many difficult years
yes.
that we that we express to each other how much we appreciate each other. And the other thing is, it's almost like we milk it. You know, I mean, it's like, it's so good. It's so wonderful.
Well,
it's so unbelievable that we often comment on, how did this happen? This is like, we're so perfect for each other. I love that you do this. I love that you do that. I love that you say this.
I mean, that's not what we usually call milking it.
Right.
That is staying in it.
Yes, 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 staying in it.
And every garden needs tending.
Yes.
You know, the emotional ones and...
That's right.
Needs tending. You can't let something just languish.
Right.
Including love and appreciation.
Right.
And that's why we say, write those letters.
Write the letters. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I had mentioned to you before that, that, you know, even if those letters are, you know, emails or whatever they are, I mean, you know, to save those.
Well,
you know,
yes. And you said that you printed out the texts.
Right.
Which
right.
I think is great because, and by the way, and you're in an enviable position because you have him right there.
Yes.
You could print out those texts and say, please sign this.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Do it. Sign it and date it.
That I did it.
So, yes. So it has some touch of his hand on it.
Oh, that's a sweet idea.
Some little handwriting.
Right.
So in years to come.
Right.
And dating them is important because when you're 90 and you look back, aren't you going to want to know?
Absolutely.
How old was I? When was this that he felt this passion for me? And maybe you'll find that it's all the way till you're both 90.
Right. Right.
Oh, yes.
Right. You're absolutely right about that.
Yes. So that's very smart to print out the, and I do go for that.
Right.
When you get an email that's wonderful, print it out and do it on really beautiful, strong paper that will last for generations.
Excellent. Yes. That's a wonderful idea.
You know, I just am reading a book now, and it's about the Tudors, the English family in charge. Anyway, and... There are still documents and letters signed by Henry VIII and signed by Elizabeth I. And they're as good as the day. I mean, you look at them and you would be shocked to think that this was done in 1500-something.
Oh, my gosh.
Because what you put on your video 20 years ago, it's finished. You can't watch it. It's corroded and it's cracked and the sound's no good.
That's right.
20 years it does. But letters
love
do.
Letters. Yes.
Yes.
The letters do. Yes, yes, exactly.
So what do you say about letting, you know, keeping, I think this is an issue for a lot of women and men, by the way. I should not single this out for women because I've spoken with men who, keeping that person in your life, that person is part of your family.
Your spouse.
Yes, I had an aunt who married a man. I mean, she did marry him. And he had, sadly enough, at some point had to divorce his wife, who had been in a home for years in a vegetative state. Just a real tragedy, and there was no more, she was no longer there. And he eventually married and they went to see her every Sunday together.
Oh, my heavens.
She was part of their life.
Right.
There's no threat.
The way I keep my ex-husband in our life is I will say positive things. That
I do
he
same.
Would have,
yes.
You know, he would have, and quite frankly, my boyfriend just thinks he's wonderful.
That's so nice.
He says, oh, I just wish I could have met him. Oh, I'm so glad to hear that, you know.
That's important.
And it's so keeping that
right.
aspect
right.
alive.
But also saying something positive.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because you married him for the positive.
Yes.
And the sadness that happened is not his fault.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, that's so nice.
Exactly. You know, you ask, you know, with my boyfriend, what are the things that attracted me to him, you know? And it's one thing is that he is an incredibly considerate person. Very thoughtful, very considerate, very concerned about other people around him, and very very much the gentleman, very in the truest,
that's nice.
Kindest sense.
So what does that mean, very much a gentleman?
Well, to me, a gentleman is making people feel comfortable
yes.
around them.
Oh, I saw that actually in a rather corny movie that I loved, and the definition was of a lady
yes.
or a gentleman was people who could make other people be comfortable.
Right.
And how true.
Right. And also feel what they're feeling and want to have them feel good. So it's an unselfishness.
Yes.
Is really what a lot of it is. And when I mentioned that to him, you know, at one point he kind of went, oh, how did this wonderful thing happen? I hit the lottery.
Oh,
I just
he feels
I won
that.
The
good.
Lottery, you know. And I said, well, a lot of it was that you're so considerate. And he was so cute because he's a real guy's guy. And he went, I didn't know that had anything to do with it.
Oh,
you know, because it's interesting. Guys kind of don't know how they attract women.
Oh, I guess that could be really true. And they might even have their eye on the wrong thing.
Right.
Yes.
Right. And I think sometimes women do too.
Right. Yes. I think sometimes the things that women put out there and they think is what's attracting.
Right. Yes.
So that's nice to have that reaffirmed and for somebody to tell you what.
Right. Right. And also, and like I say, appreciating the wonderful relationship you have, pointing out all the wonderful aspects.
Oh, and by the way, yes. And one of the things I think in pointing out, you're touching on something I think really good. And also in terms of writing it down.
Yes.
If you want somebody's behavior to be wonderful, wouldn't you think that commenting and being appreciative of wonderful is what lets people know what to do more of?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Criticizing is confusing.
It is.
Actually, isn't it?
It is.
Yes.
In fact, there was a famous study on teachers and students that were having a tremendous difficulty, and they switched things around, and they would compliment them and tell them how it's Pygmalion in the classroom. They would tell them how great they are, and geez, these kids just fell all over themselves to do even
better. To live
up
to, yes.
Right.
Yes.
And I think it's true for human nature.
Right. I think, and in particular, again, I mean, it doesn't matter, but in letters, if you write a letter that's, and I think a love letter is about the other person's wonderful qualities.
Exactly.
That's it. And there are lots of ways of doing that. And you can talk about yourself, like you said, how he makes you feel.
Yes.
So you can talk about yourself in light of the other person's qualities that make you feel that way.
Right.
But if you write a nasty letter, and people say that I'm going to write a letter to, you know, this company or that person or this politician, you write something really critical, I think what happens is it goes in the wastebasket halfway through, and they think you're nuts.
Yes. Yes.
If you write something on the positive they do, we read that whole thing, and we probably think how insightful that other person is.
Exactly.
Which is true, because it is insightful if you're focusing on the positive, and you can...
Right.
Oh, I'm so glad you brought all that up.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
So what's your next love letter going to be?
Oh, my next love... Oh,
yes.
Well, I'm definitely...
Let's just play with it.
Okay, so I really love your whole idea because, like I said, we verbalize to each other all the time how thrilled we are this has happened, how, I mean, it's, you know, just, we just look at the, if I hadn't been here at this time, I wouldn't have met you.
Oh, that's really worth writing down.
And so why not write this down?
Even for family history.
Yes.
I don't know if you have anybody in your family who's doing a family history, but that's very popular now, and for good reason. And part of a family history is finding letters.
Right.
When people, oh, well, you know that. I forgot who I was talking to. You do, you know, and finding things of the past.
Right.
Is just critical in knowing what your own legacy is.
Right. Right. Exactly. And then, too, I just think the fact that we are so appreciative of this happening, that to have that down... Mm-hmm. There's great power in the spoken word. And then I think that gets multiplied when it's the written word.
Yes.
So.
Because your memory can go over time.
Yes.
And you may not remember something exactly right.
Right. Yes.
You know, it can fade, but when you have it there in writing to remind you.
Yes. Yes.
So that's good. I hope you'll do that.
Mm-hmm.
And will some grandchild find that someday and know what they came from?
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
Learn a little something about grandma.
Right.
While you're at
it.
I think that's really worthwhile.
Right. Or even if it isn't that, even if it's just anyone out there that reads that letter and then they're inspired to.
Oh, that too.
To appreciate.
Yes. I mean, that's why we're talking about this. But
yes.
But also, even if a stranger finds it.
Yes.
You know, sometimes strangers find letters and they're a wonderful historical indication of the times.
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely.
That too.
Right.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for doing this with me.
Yes.
That is just such an important lesson and such an important, really, inspiration to know that even when you've gone through something horrible, it's not the end of the road as long as you're still here drawing breath.
Mm-hmm.
And look, you know, it's not just for you. It's you've made somebody else happy.
That's right.
You know?
That's right. And quite frankly, there's a thing that when someone does something nice for someone, you know, the cross back and forth of mm-hmm. how that of that energy. But also they found that anyone who happened to watch someone help somebody, that also inspires
yes.
them. And so this is the same thing for us. Our friends are thrilled, you know. It makes them happy to see
yes.
the two of us happy.
Yes. Everybody's in love with love.
Yes.
That's true. Thank you, dear. And I just want to say that if you think you need to wait for a special occasion to write a love letter, it is always a special occasion when you do write one. And I like your point of take those emails, those loving emails, and print them out on really good paper and make sure they're dated. And also, how do you print out a text? I don't even know. You transfer it onto an email.
I had to transcribe
right.
it.
Okay.
Yes, I had to transcribe.
So in other words, just save every bit of love that you get on paper.
And keep a diary as it goes along.
Yeah, just put it someplace like in a treasure box, and you're going to have a very good time looking at this when you're 94. Okay, thank you so much.
Yes,
goodbye
you.
For now, and we'll talk to you later.